time now for Inside the Huddle on WILO, hosted by Ken Hartman. This program will focus on area schools and all the sports they have to offer. Ken will speak with coaches and players across the region. Your participation is encouraged. Call now at 659-3338 to discuss local and statewide sports. Inside the Huddle is brought to you by Tony Theofanis, State Farm Insurance, and Susan Casper, State Farm Insurance in Frankfort. Now here's your host, Ken Hartman.
Good Saturday morning to you, and welcome to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm Insurance agents, Susan Casper and Tony Theofanis. I'm your host, Ken Hartman. This is the early morning, Saturday morning, I should say, edition of this, because we're going to be going 8:30 to 9:30 this morning, as I've got something I have to be at 10 o'clock this morning. So we already have our guest in here, and that's our infamous sports guru and knowledgeable person, Don Stock. Don, good morning. How are you doing?
Man, you're using that word knowledgeable pretty loosely this morning.
Oh, why not, though? I mean, hey, you're on it, everything. I mean, you know.
Well, I've covered a lot of basketball and football this year. I just got to thinking this is one of my first years in a long time that I've been somewhere every weekend since the first part of August. So,
yeah, you have been. I'm glad you said that. I hadn't thought about that because I thought you had a bit of a break between football and basketball, but you didn't.
When the girls start playing, and you grab them, and it's been a long time. But you know, we're now getting into probably the best part of the season.
Yeah, we are. Yeah, the pairings get drawn tomorrow.
Yep.
And we have our teams going to three different spots. The suddenly hot Bulldogs from Clinton Central, they've won twice now in the last three games.
Yeah, and you head right down there on the east side of Frankfort. You got the Hot Dogs now winning two in a row.
That's right.
I've already spoken with Coach Van Dyne and congratulated him. Man, I asked him, I said, when was the last time we won two in a row?
You know,
I don't think anybody remembers.
I don't think so. Outside the last time, you know, when they won a sectional under Tom Weeks, that may be the last time.
Yeah, it's been a while, but it's what a great step for the Hot Dogs.
That's exactly right. And then, of course, you know, as we were talking, Frankfort goes over to Greencastle. I don't know how we got back to Greencastle again.
I don't either.
I'm not thrilled about that thought. So.
You know, there's a lot of different people, schools, who think that coming to Frankfort's too far north. And, you know, it's probably one of the best gyms, maybe outside of Newcastle, mm-hmm. in the state of Indiana. Maybe throw in Bedford. They've got a pretty good place down there,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, they do. Mm-hmm.
To play basketball. And the school has done a terrific job in their remodeling process, and it almost looks to be a junior college level style. And why wouldn't you want to play there?
Well, you know, and that's why I'm really hoping that we get a chance to host Basketball Day Indiana in the future, because, you know, with going over to Memorial Gym a couple weeks ago, or Kokomo, I really believe this would be a showcase for this, not just Case, but for this community with where it's heading and moving forward in that direction.
That's a great. I think you're so spot on. I mean, those are the things that you need to come into your community to showcase what you have. Yeah, I agree.
I mean, you know, to me it would be fantastic. And this, you know, the four games and that has up with the Pacers, and of course, you know, they got kind of lucky over at Memorial Gym because they were able to get Gene Cady and Bob Knight both that evening to come over there. So. Bob Knight didn't look very good.
No, but, you know, he still has his blue nose. I remember his nose being still, that color when he coached over
he's
there.
He's still feisty, too. I mean, gosh, he's feisty. We were talking about Frankfort will be in 3A. They're going to Greencastle. Clinton Prairie and Rossville going to go to Western Boone. That's going to be a fun sectional.
Going to be a good sectional. A good sectional with this. You know what? I thought about this morning, Ken. You know, one of the topics, and you probably know a little more about it, whether it's going to happen or not, and that is the potential of seeding in the tournament.
I would like that.
So you look at, and I guess the seeding would be based on the strength of schedule, not wins and losses. Would that be true?
I would guess that'd be true. I would just say this. When I was coaching, we always went to seeding tournaments, or, you know, sectional tournaments. We always seeded everybody. And the problem with there's only one problem that you can't overcome, and it's one I really don't like either, is the fact you get people from, say, the other side of where you are, other side of your section. I mean, if you're on the east side, even people on the west side, or vice versa, they have no clue who you played, what you do, you know, how good or bad you are, and it becomes a popularity contest, which is, you know, I guess that's what. But those, but I, that's what I don't like about that. But I think it would be good if you could.
Yeah, but especially the way they've got it drawn up now. You know, it used to be that you'd a six-team tournament. Two teams would play on Monday and two games on Monday, and those winners would play together. Mm-hmm. And then two teams would get a bye and play in the second game of Friday night. Well, now they split the two teams up. So basically, it's almost set up to be able to go into a seeding process by putting your number ones and number twos and playing fives and six. And I think it would be fun. If they can get through all of the, mm-hmm. Popularity of, well, we got to make sure this team.
Yeah. The one thing about it, though, I think that would, how big a thing do you think, because you've seen this now the last two or three years, we've had teams eliminated early because they're playing it technically is the championship game almost of that sectional.
Yeah.
The very first night. So, I mean, you've seen it firsthand. But I'm just saying, how big a deal is that? Would you rather have it the first night, the first game, or would you rather have it wait till Saturday night?
For me, I'd rather have Saturday night. You're looking at the potential ticket sales more than anything mm-hmm. else. And if both one and twos were to make it to the final game, you're probably going to have a bigger crowd there on that Saturday evening rather than if your number one team is playing the number six team. It's,
And the other thing of it is that most of those games, and we've been out and you've seen it firsthand, most of those games are starting at 6 and 6:30 because it's the very first game of the tournament, and that's when those games are going to start.
Right. Yeah, that doesn't help out because of people trying to get there from work.
Mm-hmm.
But and then you also look at the sectional's not really a sectional anymore. It's more of a regional. I mean, mm-hmm. you have Clinton Central traveling all the way over to Attica to play a game or two, and that's a long haul for
Especially when they've got Attica, Covington, Lafayette Central Catholic, and North Vermillion already in that section over there.
So, just around the corner.
We're talking about the Western Boone section. This could be fun. I only see two teams here that could not possibly win this out of the six. And that would be Carroll and Fountain Central. Those are the only two I can't see any way that they could win that
section. Carroll's really struggling.
But then you got Prairie, you got Rossville, you got Seeger, and you got Western Boone playing. And it's at Western Boone this time through, so... That one could be a very interesting sectional.
Yeah, I got my first look at Western Boone when they played Central, the sectional week of girls. And, we just watched Cortez Stoudemire shoot up 30 points against Central mm-hmm. and without a sweat. They're very athletic. They're very footballish. I mean, one of the Brett Weddington is a complete stud. I mean, I'm not saying as in the capability of playing basketball. Mm-hmm. When you hit him, he's not moving.
Right.
And he's either a linebacker. He's playing football somewhere on Saturday somewhere next year.
Is Jim McClellan coach Western Boone? And I'm asking for a reason.
Let me look here real quick. It's Josh Burkett.
Okay. The reason I ask is I think McClellan was the coach, and I think
he was.
Okay. And also, he was the coach over when we here at Frankfort first went over to Greencastle to play in the regional, because he was coaching Indianapolis, Northwest? He was a coach there. They got beaten the first round by the team that got us in the sectional final. Regional final.
So. Yeah, there's been water under the bridge.
I can barely remember.
I have to bring in everybody's program because if I'm not at the game, mm-hmm. I don't remember people.
Right.
But if I'm at the ball game, then I can talk pretty freely about it.
Right.
I don't know why that is, but it is.
Yeah, you last night were over at Tri-Central to watch Prairie. I take it Prairie was... You look at the score and you see it's 55-33. You think, okay, no contest, not even close. But in reality, from what I heard you talk about earlier, it was close for a while.
Yeah, it was. Both teams came out really slow in scoring. And for Clinton Prairie, Jason Forsythe, my color guy, did a great job in observation in the fact that there were a lot of opportunities that Prairie could have taken a little 8- or 10-foot jumper, which would have been a normal shot, and passed it up. And so it was a very slow progressing offensive game. But man, I'll tell you what, once the second, and at halftime, it was like 23-18. I mean, it was still a pretty good basketball game. Prairie come right out, which we thought we would, be very aggressive. Coach got them moving and they jumped into an 18 point lead just like in about 2 minutes. They had a 9-0 run, had to call timeout. Tri-Central did, and then it just went the opposite way. and you had back-to-back turnovers or not good plays from their point guard, Bailey Good, which then ignited Tri-Central, and they now pulled back to within a 6 or 8 point game. And it was kind of back and forth at that time, and then Prairie then went on a big run at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, Prairie's got the horses, and Jason Forsythe was so right, and he believes that it's the funk boy, Trevor.
Yeah.
That he's the guy that kind of molds them together underneath. Fullerton played a more active game than I've seen him play in quite a while last night, so it could be that they're starting to get themselves put together here for the final stretch run.
Right.
Unfortunately for them, that's what we're waiting for, the draw on Sunday to decide where our last basketball game is going to be. Because I don't want to do Western Boone on Friday or Thursday or whenever the game is,
mm-hmm.
Prairie, and then on Monday do Western Boone and Prairie again. I don't want to do that. But that's where I'd like to be at.
Yeah, I would say I'll just say it this way. It looks like I would think we'd probably be over at the Western Boone sectional, because if the drawing turns out right, you could see, for instance, let's say the four teams we talked about. If you have Seeger and if you have Western Boone and Prairie and Rossville as a final four, that's a pretty good tournament.
Yeah, I totally agree. And the draw is big, and of course everybody says that whenever you get into tournaments, man, it's how it gets drawn out is how mm-hmm. it's going to work. And I'm going to be frank here, and I thought when Prairie played Rossville a couple of weeks ago at the Hive, I didn't think Rossville would lose the basketball game.
Mm-hmm.
They play really well in the Hive, and for Prairie to come in, I didn't think they'd match up well against their guards in Douglas and Cornell, because those guys get flat out at you.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that they'd really disrupt the whole offensive side of Prairie, but man, they got off to that fast start. Prairie hung right in there. So now then it's like, I would love to go see Friday night when Western Boone plays at Clinton Prairie. I'd love to see that matchup, because that could be a matchup that could occur again.
That's right.
And the question is that game doesn't mean anything. So
yeah.
Do you do anything? Do you show anything? I know at the high school level, I don't know if that means anything, but
yeah, I think it does, because what it does is that if you think a team is a little shaky mentally, I think you do, but not the whole package of that. I think you do show them a couple of things, make them think, and then unleash the full thing the following week.
Yeah. I'd love to see how Prairie matches up against the physicality of Western Boone. I'm not telling you that Western Boone's out there thumping people. They're not.
No.
They're a good basketball team. They've got a 6'4 Caleb Freeman. They've got a 6'2 Jake Jones that comes off the bench. And then that Weddington comes off the bench. It's a good basketball team who got off to a late start because they won the football tournament
for the last 2 years,
and so that means they're no athletically. When we watched them play, I'm thinking, how can these guys be 500 basketball? Because they're really not a bad group of kids.
Right.
So it'll be fun. I just think there's a lot to that tournament, and it is a tournament that we're going to go to. We're going to cover both Prairie and Rossville. If we cover two different basketball games, we're going to cover two different basketball games.
Mm-hmm.
And I just hope that these two teams don't have to play each other unless it's in the championship game.
It'd be great that way.
Yeah.
I just want to run down a couple scores here from last night. I see Danville just absolutely obliterated Crawfordsville last night, 83-52. let me see. Lebanon got past Monrovia in double overtime. That surprised me a little bit. That was 65-61. There was one over here. Oh, yeah, Richmond beat Lafayette Jeff last night, 79-75. Terre Haute North defeated Covington last night, 49-42. Tri-West got North Montgomery, 77-60. And Western Boone defeated Cascade, 75-61.
You know, I got a question to ask.
Sure.
You talk about Danville raking Crawfordsville. And I mean, you could go either way on this. And that is, you're a good basketball team, as Danville obviously is. Do you go to every ball game and just brow whip people? Or do you try to use other players at the end once you get into a decent lead. I mean, I know you don't want to disrupt the flow of your basketball team, but, you know, for me, I'm the hot dogs. They got throttled. Yeah. I mean, flat out, almost a 40-point ball game against Danville loss.
Right. Uh-huh.
And you look at that and you go, man, I'm posting that. If I'm the coach, I'm posting that on the bulletin board in the locker room. I'm putting it in the weight room, and we're not going to forget these guys just kicking our face in.
That's right.
And so, you know, I sometimes I just don't understand why you just release the hounds and let them go until the very end and let your subs play the last 2 minutes. Yeah. It don't make a lot of sense to me.
I totally agree with you, because if you don't develop during games, you're not going to be able to develop them hard.
No.
That's just the way I look at it. I need to take a break right now. You're listening to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm insurance agent, Susan Casper and Tony Theofanis.
Your free local online newspaper, ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, is your number one resource for information as you need it. Right at your fingertips, we have news, weather, sports, obituaries, the WILO program schedule, over 40,000 community photos, online surveys, community events, and WILO TV archives. Plus, click on the info tab to find out how you can contact your local and state representative. Find out what the buzz is all about. ClintonCountyDailyNews.com.
State Farm agents are one of a kind. They understand insurance and share a genuine concern for others. State Farm agent Susan Casper works very hard every day to help people find the right products for their insurance and financial needs. From homeowners and renters to retirement planning, please call Susan Casper today to talk about which products are best for you. Get to a better state. State Farm.
WILO wants to hear from you. Let us know your opinion by sending us an email. We now have a sound-off page at ClintonCountyDailyNews.com. Just go to the community page and click on Sound Off to submit your opinion. We've made it easy for you to sound off on the local issues important to you. You can also submit by emailing your opinion to newsroom@casperradio.com. Let us know what's on your mind. One more way we're keeping you connected. WILO.
WILO and Casper Media are members of the exclusive International Broadcasters Idea Bank. Casper Media and 99 other broadcasters from around the world come together to trade ideas on how to better serve our communities and our listeners. A member of the International Broadcasters Idea Bank since 1991, Casper Media has hosted the Idea Bank convention throughout the years. Casper Media and Idea Bank, constantly working to better serve you. Depend on WILO.
As an 18-year-old, I let my mistakes kind of take over my life. I was 0.5 credits away from completing high school, and I didn't do it.
10 years later, at age 28, Jackie finished her high school diploma.
When I found out that I was pregnant, I know that I had to do something for myself if I wanted to make her a better person and provide a better life for her. My family never stopped pushing for me to be better because they knew what I could become and who I could become as a person. My support team is amazing. The educational director, my sister, and even my 7-year-old daughter has just been more than the support that I could ask for. I've been given an opportunity, and I'm just thankful for it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
And welcome back to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm insurance agents, Susan Casper and Tony Theofanis. I'm your host, Don Hartman.
I thought I was the only guy that did that kind of stuff.
I'm almost afraid to say it. I can't say that. Ken Hartman along with Don Stock. One thing I need to mention, that's funny though, too. We've got, of course, we have, I don't know how Elijah Anthony did at the state wrestling meet last night, but he's over at the state tournament. He's wrestling at 113 today. I'm assuming he's still in there.
I hope so.
I think he was 41-4, I think, going in.
Also, he was seated pretty well.
Yeah, she should have been seated pretty well. Also, we have several swimmers, particularly from Clinton Central, who are in the sectional swimming finals today over at Zionsville. We do have a couple. We have some couple things here from Frankfort. First of all, Tyler Harness is in the 500 freestyle final, and then the 400 freestyle relay team of Malachi Galishan, Jacob Craig, Daniel Pritchin, and Terry Fry are in the 400 freestyle relay final today. And then from Clinton Central, we got Eric McCarty's in two or three races. Plus, they've got a couple relays. Colton Payne, I think, is in one thing today. So they've got some pretty good rep. Blake Mossbaugh is also in a couple things as well. So it should be a good. We should have some good results coming out of the state swim meet over at Zionsville today. That starts at noon.
Man, I tell you, Central's had a pretty good run on swimming over there.
And all those kids are young.
Yeah,
they're all young.
Well, Janet Norris, before she moved on into the better things of life, really got a good program started up over there, and I'm glad to see it continue.
Yeah, and then you got Ken Jones and Wendy Hall, and plus the fact they built that new pool over there, which really, if you haven't been over there.
I've not.
It is a very, very nice pool.
Good for them.
Yeah, I went over there a couple years ago. They got all new equipment, and it looks great.
I know that they were having a lot of issues with what chlorine does in the air to everything. Mm-hmm. And they had a washer and dryer in there. And the reason why, because I usually repaired those when I was
I remember that.
My younger days. But, man, that chlorine just eat everything up.
Yeah, and also it gets in your sinuses. You know, gee, how come I feel like you know what, too? and Lord, one thing I did want to ask you about high school basketball in particular before we get to some other things. Who's the best team you've seen this year?
You know, I love West Lafayette. I get to watch that. I can't think of his name now. The football player. Karlaftis.
Karlaftis. Yeah.
I just can't. that's the option. Our option is Rossville, West Lafayette, Western Boone, Prairie. Mm-hmm. And to watch the Karlaftis kid play, I've not seen anything like it in a long, long time. And that is, he's just a hustling machine. He's enjoyable to watch. It's a good basketball team. He realizes that what he can do and what he can't. I mean, he's just a very, very smart athlete, and he's a lot of fun to watch. That's probably been. If you want to talk on the local level, I still think, again, you got to look at Clinton Prairie Rossville as your leading pencils there. And Rossville, they're a really good basketball team. But I had an alumni from Rossville say, well, we're going to win the games we're supposed to win, but we're not going to win the games that we're playing bigger schools at. And you know, you think about that, and you wonder why. Because, you know, you got the Shaw boys, and you got Douglas and Cornell, and Meek plays well, and you got Evan Price coming off the bench, and Jaden Brown. All those guys can flat shoot the rock. And that's what made me think that athletically, I thought that Prairie wouldn't beat Rossville because of all the things that Rossville has, but I just don't understand why they can't get, you know, to play a Northwestern. They play them well until the third quarter, and then, you know, they get rolled out. But then you look at Clinton Prairie, and with Damon Bailey. See what you got me going?
Yeah, I know.
Bailey good up front, and then Grant McGraw's not shooting the rock very well right now, but you know, hopefully he'll get that put back together.
Right.
And then the underneath guys of Funk and Fullerton make that well team. Now, last night, Drew Blacker had a lot of opportunities to shoot the basketball and didn't. And that kind of concerns me a little bit, because the last thing you want is a 5-on-4 offense. Mm-hmm. And there's got to be times that Drew's got to look at it and go, man, I can take this little 8-foot jumper and be just fine.
Right.
But he passes it. He don't even look to shoot. So hopefully he can get that all corralled. But, you know, I'd love to see Rossville and Prairie play in that sectional championship over at Western Boone. I really would love to see that, that ball game again. I don't want it in a semifinal round. And the winner have to then play Western Boone. I don't want that. But, you know, I guess we'll take whatever we take. But
yeah, that you know, we were discussing that earlier, you know, how the draw, you know, should they seed them, or should they, you know, should they not?
Well, Northwestern, we got to talk about players. Here's the big difference. Northwestern has that Park Parkinson or Parkhurst kid.
Yeah, I've heard the name. But I can't.
And he only plays to a certain level. Well, the Karloffis kid
doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, he plays that hard all the time.
I think of the play where West Lafayette came down. They took a shot from the right wing, and Karloffis is now on the weak side board. He's ready for the rebound. Well, the ball was short, hit the back iron, and it bounced towards the right corner of the gym. Well, who was the first guy to the basketball?
Karloftis.
Karloftis.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, the guy who shot the ball wasn't 8 foot away.
He didn't move.
And Karloftis beat him to the ball.
Yeah.
That's the stuff that I like watching.
You know, and the thing of it is, if you look at his, I'm assuming it's his brother that's playing football at Purdue right now. I mean, he's nonstop that way too. So I think you come from a family who's, you know, you got siblings, you got parents who drive you constantly, and I think that helps. And this is not a knock against anybody here.
No.
We just don't have a lot of those type of kids in this area.
No, there are great athletes, mm-hmm. but for some reason they're not driven to be their point. I'll tell you. We talked about this last night off the air. Caleb Peters,
yeah,
number three. That kid has more speed, more athleticism than I think a lot of players in Clinton County.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, Caleb, if you're listening, man, if I make you mad, I hope I do, because maybe it'll drive you. And you don't play to your potential at all. You just kind of level out there and just kind of move around. Man, if you could play to your potential, you could be phenomenal.
I think one of the biggest problems kids have, and I think this goes for coaches and everybody in this particular area, everybody kind of knows that my starting job and my playing time is secure, because they know they don't have very few people that's going to press them in practice, and you have to have that. I can definitely tell you, because when we actually had a separate squad that we coached. That was not our top 6, 7, 8 kids, but we had a separate group that we coached, and they pressed those guys every single day in practice. And that's you, and you have to have that if you're going to be good. Because, you know, you've seen it, you've heard it. If your star player, one of your star players goes down, oh, we can't win anymore.
Yeah. That says a lot for the rest of your squad.
But I'm just saying, but that mentality exists.
Yeah.
I'll never forget this. We were in the national quarterfinals. Our best kid sick with the flu, so we had a kid step up and won us the ball game.
Well, you know, you go to a ball game. When we went to the girls sectional over at Sheridan, here's what Kevin Catron and I pretty much said. Okay, with the nucleus of the girls basketball team at Prairie, if they can get somebody to step up off the bench, mm-hmm. and do well, we're going to win this basketball game. Well, they did. They had the freshmen step off and score like about 18 points. Well, they got beat because their two best players didn't compete that
right.
night.
Uh-huh.
And whether it's because of defense or the other team, it didn't make a difference. But see, you had what you needed. You just didn't get what you were expecting. And so there you go. And I totally agree with that, with what you say. We thought about that with the girls' basketball program at Frankfort. You know, they're really struggling. So
yeah.
Why don't you go out and get 5 or 6 or 7 guys who don't play on the basketball team, that play well, maybe they have an intermediate league somewhere,
mm-hmm.
and bring those kids in and play against your girls and getting them tough up and
right.
make them better.
Yeah.
I don't see anything wrong with that at all.
No, I don't either. I know there's been a lot of college programs that do that and have done it, have been quite successful by doing it too.
Yeah.
So I need to take another break right now. We're listening to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm Insurance agent Susan Casper and Tony Theofanis.